You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Former Chicago Bears first-round pick Kevin White opened up about his feelings on how his career ultimately played out in the NFL, how he feels gypped by injuries, and how he still maintains confidence in his own ability as a football player that was all just taken away from him. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we'll go back through Kevin White's Bears career and try and piece together what happened and what could have been. We'll also hear from Tariq Cohen sharing his thoughts on the Bears quarterback competition and what he thinks Mitchell Trubisky needs to do to kind of rediscover some of his own success. And we'll also look back at Brian Urlacher's career as he celebrates a birthday. NBC Sports Chicago did an exclusive interview with the 7th overall pick in that 2015 NFL draft. Of course, wide receiver Kevin White out of West Virginia, a player who had so much potential to be an exciting weapon in this Chicago Bears offense, which at the time still had Alshon Jeffrey. When they were coming in, it was still the John Fox offense with the likes of Martellus Bennett, Zach Miller, Eddie Royal. It was actually toward the end of Matt Forte's career as well, coming into Kevin White's rookie season. Jay Cutler still at quarterback. His rookie year was with Adam Gase, and then it was the Dowell Loggins years after that. But clearly some high potential for a speed receiver, a deep threat, a dynamic athlete that we saw really dominate that final season at West Virginia. We all know what happened from there, or really how it came off the rails before it started, with a surgery right away after the NFL draft, multiple injuries to follow, and Kevin White ultimately doesn't play out his fifth year in Chicago and goes on to a brief stint with the Arizona Cardinals and was now out of the league in the 2019 season. In total, he played 14 games, made 25 catches for 285 yards, and no touchdowns in the regular season, although I believe he had a preseason touchdown or two somewhere in there. And it's not a situation that was Kevin White's fault in any way, but it was difficult for him, and he opened up to NBC Sports Chicago a little bit about how he dealt with that and how he reflects on his time in the NFL.
When I see guys that doesn't, and it's kind of hard, you know, not comparing or anything like that, but I know how much work I put in, how much I care about the game, and I, you know, try to do everything right, be perfect. Like, it's not cheating reps, working hard when it's no lights and cameras. Is, I mean, I did everything under the roof. So I felt, you know, cheat, especially when you see other guys doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff. No injuries, don't work half as hard, and don't really love the game. And they just, I don't know, they just kind of get the blessing of it. I don't know, but I definitely felt cheated, gypped, because I did it everything the right way. Mm-hmm. Of course, learning things like from older guys, you know, Eddie Royal, Alshon, like a whole bunch of guys. With taking care of my body when it comes to getting body work done, chiropractor, massages, vitamins and things like that. Like, those are things that I had to learn getting into the league. But I just felt like I got gypped. The fans got gypped. Everyone got gypped. And, and I can't blame anyone for it. Can't blame anyone for the injuries. I don't know why it happened. Clean slate with injuries all the way up until I got to the NFL, and then that's just kind of been the story for some reason. People can say bust or whatever the case may be, and it is attached to my name by default. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's like, okay, you can say Kevin White's a bust because it didn't work out. Absolutely. Can't say Kevin White can't play this game, or Kevin White can't get open, or Kevin White's dropping passes. Couldn't say any of that. Not at practice, not at the little bit of games that I did play. Say injuries, you know, held me back, but you can't say I was out there and just pissed at all. You can't say that. Yeah.
Right.
So that's how I deal with it. If I was out there playing healthy and I was just couldn't get open, getting strapped every play or just dropping balls, thinking like, yeah, okay, I can take that. And yeah, I didn't do well and haven't been playing well and I'm a bust because of my numbers. But with injuries and not being out there, I can't do anything.
Again, that audio from Kevin White is courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. It was a really well done interview on their full Under Center podcast. It goes much, much longer than just that brief clip there. He talked about how he still has a good relationship with John Fox and Ryan Pace and some of the relationships he built with teammates like Eddie Royal and Alshon Jeffrey. So I highly recommend you check that out and remember Kevin White for all the potential he could have been and all the unfortunate situations he found himself in through no fault of his own. I guess this will be a remembrance podcast as we look back at Brian Urlacher's career with him celebrating his 42nd birthday on Monday. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Kevin White talked about how important it was for him to eat right and take care of his body. And if you're looking to do the same for yourself, then I highly recommend you try Built Bars. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And I don't say that lightly. I can't get enough of them. I love the salted caramel chocolate flavor. The banana bread flavor was so good. It's not that weird artificial banana taste. It really does taste like bananas. It's sort of, with all the Built Bars, the consistency of a candy bar. It's soft and chewy, but it has the nutrient ingredients of a protein bar. You know, like the mint brownie flavor, for example, 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams of net carbohydrates. So it tastes delicious, it's good for you, and right now you can get $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order. Does it make you feel old when I say that Brian Urlacher turned 42 years old on Monday? I mean, he's older than I am, so it doesn't quite hit me the same way, but I would imagine if I were in that generation, I would feel old with Brian Urlacher at 42, although it's amazing that he's almost the same age as Tom Brady, and Urlacher's been out of the NFL for 8 years, and Tom Brady's still rolling, but very different body types, very different positions, very different situations. But regardless, Brian Urlacher's celebrating the birthday on Memorial Day, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to go back and remember some of the best moments of Brian Urlacher's career and try and appreciate him again, because it just seems like a player that cannot be appreciated enough, and who has enough Brian Urlacher in their life anymore? I mean, really, none of us are getting enough Urlacher, so any opportunity we can take to relive the Hall of Fame career of one of the best middle linebackers in Chicago Bears history, absolutely sign me up. Now, a lot of his top games, to be honest, were when I was quite a young lad. Some of them I don't remember as clearly or as well. Some of them I had to go back and kind of rewatch, but I remember in particular, you know, in 2007, he had a couple of games toward the end of that season where it just felt like he was playing on another level. I think one of them, it was a Vikings game, I think, where he was, you know, not only was he making big tackles in run defense, but he blitzed a couple of times and brought down the quarterback. He had a big fumble recovery. I believe he had a pick in that game. And really, every aspect of defense, blitzing, rushing the passer, dropping back in coverage, run defense, it really showed how well-rounded of a player Urlacher was. And not that long after that game, there was a matchup with the Packers, I think, against Favre, where Brett Favre had a big pick six, and I believe it was the only defensive touchdown he had scored in his career, at least on an interception return. And not until 2012 did he get another pick six. He had a fumble recovery for a touchdown in 2001 and one in 2011, but his first defensive, you know, pick six touchdown was in that 2017 game against Brett Favre. I believe his fifth interception of that season. And man, I don't know how Brian Urlacher wasn't named to the Pro Bowl that season because it really felt like 2017 he was on just, or excuse me, 2007 he was on just a little bit of a different level. It was a 7-9 Bears team that finished last in the NFC North, so then that sometimes that can be a part of it, but not a process that was fair in any way to him in hindsight there. But so many other moments throughout his career. I remember, of course, you know, being the defensive player of the year in 2005, obviously, is kind of an overarching big accomplishment. But you may also remember back early, like 2001, Brian Urlacher versus Michael Vick kept him very well contained in a few of those matchups. But really early in his career in particular, it was October of 2001. I don't remember what week exactly, but Urlacher had, that was the fumble recovery touchdown. His first defensive touchdown of his career was in that game. He forced a fumble, had a sack on Michael Vick as well. Just all around dominance against one of the most dynamic players in the NFL. I mean, Urlacher was able to match that defensively. And I just don't think we fully appreciate how difficult it is to do what Urlacher did in the middle of this Bears defense and how often he sort of had to play almost like a safety. You know, he was a safety in college, you may remember, but he didn't play this hybrid safety role that we're seeing now in the NFL. But in terms of that middle linebacker spot in cover two, a lot of times he's the one who has to cover the tight end or the slot receiver running the deep seam route. If anybody's kind of split the safeties, it's Urlacher that's got to follow him downfield. And somehow at, you know, what, 6'4", 255 pounds, whatever he was weighing, he was able to carry some of these players all the way down the field and make either a tight window or make the quarterback have to throw somewhere else. And it's not even necessarily the plays on the ball that he did make, but just how good in coverage he was in a lot of those difficult situations. That's what allowed Lovie Smith's defense to be at its best and, you know, allowed guys like Lance Briggs to make plays. He certainly got some benefit from some good defensive lines. I mean, that was part of the Rod Marinelli system of getting a four-man rush so that you can drop seven and have Urlacher be able to handle that middle-of-the-field stuff. But it really was critical to have him in the middle tying that all together. Keeps Charles Tillman to be able to play underneath and be aggressive and peanut punch and do all the things that made him successful. You know, it allowed guys like Mike Brown on the back end to go up and make plays on the ball because I knew Urlacher was there to help them out over the middle. And it let guys like Lance Briggs come downhill and make a big stop in the running game or whatever it might be, because if it's play action, you know you have Urlacher behind you. So we know how great he was. The Hall of Fame certainly recognizes that, but I think it's important to remember and acknowledge just how valuable it was. Because, like I said, it wasn't always the 150 tackles that he did make, but it was the plays where the quarterback threw at him and couldn't complete it or had to look elsewhere and set up his teammates with so much success. And on top of that, you know, you get an Ironman of a physical linebacker, plays 180 games through his career and really only has a couple of seasons that had any sort of injury shortening to them. I'm sure Urlacher played through so much more than we actually knew about to be able to have so many complete seasons of 16 games. I mean, you look over his first nine season, only one of them was short of a full 16-game year. I mean, to be able to play his style of physical linebacker and not miss any games, and I know that was seemingly more common back then with those old-school style of players, but it doesn't mean it's any less impressive for a guy who still seems to be in pretty good shape physically, despite all of the car crash-type hits he took over the middle of the field, and maybe hits he delivered. Maybe that helps a little bit when it's his shoulder pads delivering the force rather than receiving them. But that's why we loved and cherished Brian Urlacher so much and why we hope he has many more birthdays to come in the future. It wasn't long ago that Urlacher was critical of the Bears' trade for Nick Foles and feels like they really should stand more so behind Mitchell Trubisky. And he's not the only one who's has some opinions about how Trubisky should progress this offseason. Tariq Cohen was able to share some of those on ESPN recently, and I wanted to go through some of his comments on what he thinks the problem is with Trubisky and the Bears offense right now. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. The Trubisky-Foles quarterback competition hasn't even technically started yet. As Matt Nagy's previously said, they're not doing a quarterback competition over Zoom virtual meetings just yet. So it really hasn't started. And yet it feels like it's almost been beaten to death at this point. And the debate never goes anywhere. And we're kind of running out of other ways to talk about it. So I try and avoid it as much as possible just because I feel like there's a lot of it everywhere. But when we get something a little bit new or a little bit fresh or a little bit different than we've heard up to this point, that's when I kind of want to bring it back into the discussion. And Tariq Cohen did so late last week. He was a guest, yes, on ESPN's First Take. Don't worry, you're not going to hear any Stephen A. Smith or Max Kellerman here, but you will hear Tariq Cohen's comments on how he feels about the quarterback competition and specifically what Mitch Trubisky and this Bears offense needs to do to get back on track.
You know, with Mitch, we've been around him for a long time. That's my guy. Came in with him, and I see that in him. And I see that, you know, he's ready to step up to the plate and ready to battle it out for this spot. And the same with Nick Foles, you know, just hear him talk on the Zoom meetings and just see his work. His resume. I can see that he's also, you know, not just going to lay down, come in and just, you know, sit on the bench. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I really feel like it's a number of things with our offense. We had, we're young. I feel like we wasn't really clicking well, and we really didn't, you know, help him a lot at times. But I feel like, you know, once he gets that confidence about himself and once he gets, you know, out of his own head and he has that effort mentality, I feel like that's when we see the best of him. You see in games like, you know, that Tampa game that you're showing, in the games where he just go out there and have fun with us, you know, he's a wonderful quarterback.
That audio, again, courtesy of ESPN's First Take. And I thought Cohen made some good points there about Mitchell Trubisky and being in his own head. And I think some of that speaks to what Brian Urlacher had also said about the quarterback trade and feeling like you have to really send the message to Mitch. You know, what Urlacher's quote was, early on in the offseason, the Bears said, Mitch is our guy, we're going to stick with him, he was our number two pick, etc. And then you go trade for Foles about a month later, Urlacher said, you know, I'm not sure how much confidence that puts in Mitch. I like Nick Foles as a quarterback, he's a really good quarterback. Just if you're saying a guy's your guy, let him be your guy. And that was the trapeze line the Bears were balancing on and tiptoeing around for much of the season, that they sort of talked out of both sides of their mouth in the sense of saying Mitch is our guy, but also we need competition. And we documented that pretty regularly here on Locked On Bears. And this is sort of what you get as a result, you know, a pressure on Trubisky to perform better, but also some, I think, lack of perceived confidence in Mitch Trubisky. And I don't necessarily know how much he's done at this point to warrant that confidence. And I think adding competition or trying to improve the quarterback position is always a smart thing to do. I don't disagree there. But when it comes to him being in his head in the way that Tariq Cohen talked about, you wonder how much this Nick Foles competition could ultimately end up maybe being detrimental to Trubisky. That is he a guy that needs to be pushed and motivated, or is he a guy that needs to be, I don't want to say calmed down or reassured necessarily, but just a guy that needs that support in order to turn it off? Because it's clear that, I don't know that it's exactly a confidence issue, but there's something in the mental side of quarterback play that's been holding Trubisky back. It's not his arm strength. It's not, I mean, sometimes it's his footwork, but that's usually starting from a mental standpoint. But it's not, he doesn't lack the talent to play quarterback at a high level. He just can't do it consistently enough at that high level. And like Tariq Cohen said, you know, we see him at the end of the Eagles playoff game, and you see him in the Buccaneers game when he turns off his brain, end of the Broncos game last year as well, the fourth quarter comeback drives, when he's just playing football, just having fun out there, we do see a much better Mitchell Trubisky. And do you think with Nick Foles behind him on the depth chart, competing with him on every rep, that he's going to be able to just turn it off, have fun, and play backyard football? I don't know how Mitchell Trubisky's brain works. I'm certainly not a doctor or a psychologist, but it would seem to me like he would have more fun if he didn't have this sort of overarching pressure breathing down him to always be thinking about, okay, any mistake I make is going to be amplified because Nick is here to try and take my job. So again, I don't think trading for a quarterback and trying to improve the competition there was by any means a bad idea, but I do think it is a bad set of circumstances for Mitchell Trubisky. And the Bears have to put the team first and have to try and be as best as they can at the quarterback spot and can't just be doing what's best for Mitch. And I really don't think this quarterback competition is going to be what's best for Mitch. And that's a big reason why I think it's only a matter of time before Nick Foles ultimately takes over, because it would take a fairly drastic or just significant difference and change from Trubisky than we've seen through his first three seasons. And I don't know that we have a ton of evidence thus far to suggest that something happened this offseason that's going to change that. It just doesn't feel like competition and motivation hasn't been Mitchell Trubisky's problem. That's never been, he's just slacking off and not trying that hard, and now this competition will whip him into shape. No, he's always been a very hard worker, a dedicated guy who knows he's needed to be better, and adding Nick Foles doesn't seem like it changes any of that. And I think Tariq Cohen's onto something there when he talks about Mitch just needing to have that F it mentality, but I think the Bears are asking him to give a lot of Fs now with Nick Foles in this competition. So I think that'll end up being a little bit problematic for Mitch, but you could be sure that once they start this quarterback competition, we'll be breaking it all down for you here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you are subscribed to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be keeping the Bears talk coming your way all summer long, helping you get through these, well, currently sportsless months, but especially the footballless times where it can be a little bit dry and you're missing your Chicago Bears fix. That's what Locked On Bears is here for you to do, to give you that opportunity every day to bear down.